Hello, everybody. My name is Hajime Sugiyama. I'm the lead programmer for Shadow of the Colossus. In our previous title, I was in charge of animation and visual programming. In the Shadow of the Colossus, I am working on animation, collision system, and dynamics. I am very honored that I'm able to be here today with other members of the Shadow of the Colossus production team. I will be speaking about mostly technical things. However, please keep in mind that I'm going to be talking about a perspective from the programmer's perspective. Those other people who are sitting at the on the stage are game designers and animators also from the Shadow of the Colossus team. Each of them will be speaking after I talk a little bit, and I will have each of them introduce themselves at that time. Now, this is what I would like to talk about today. ICO and Shadow of the Colossus was done under the guidance, the director of Mr. Uedo, Fumito Ueda, and I would like to talk about character control and whether the type of process was done. First of all, let me say, start off by describing to you about the environment in which we do our production. After having said that, we will talk about what each of the groups had done in contributing to the development. Now, the topic of today's talk is emotional character control. But before I get into that, let me describe to you what our production environment is like. I have actually been involved with 6 different teams and 10 titles in my career. But even from my experience, I feel that this Colossus team is quite unique. And what I mean by what is unique is that this group tends to pursue quality of expression and be very demanding about this. Often there might be topics or elements that will be eliminated because from cost perspectives and other things, but our team tends to pursue those unpurposely. I often think about what meaning our group has to Sony Corporation. This probably arises because I think about what my personal value is to the company. I think that perhaps there might be something that is more important than just the pursuit of sales, and that perhaps there might be something that we or I will contribute to the market besides just economic gain. In other words, that something that we can do to stir the market up as well. Those projects that Mr. Ueda are involved with tends to always have technically challenging elements. I don't know how much of this is done purposely, but that seems to be the way it is. And I think in that sense, our team provides great value. Usually, existing systems are used, and groups will pursue projects that they will be able to accomplish without a problem. But we tend to go for those that have problems. As a result, this creates a challenge for me, and that motivates me as well as a programmer. Let me get a little bit more specific about this. Earlier, I said normal teams may decide not to do certain things because of cost effectiveness or because some things are not cost effective. But I think the element that is applicable in our efforts with Colossus is what we decided to do with deformative collision detection objects. Usually, if a programmer would look at our planning documents, the first impression would be, this means that the player is going to be squeezed in to the collision object and would probably not want to do this. And that's the way I was, I felt as well. However, conversely, it's possible to make these type of things that people normally would shun and pursue those in order to make them an advantage for this project. And I think maybe doing that is one of the values that we provide. In ICO, this was probably the expression of holding hands as well as the AI, artificial intelligence control of the heroine. I think this type of thought permeates in other areas, other divisions besides the programmers, also in designers as well as the animators. Basically, once the programmer creates a system, then the sequence for improving the quality is going to be passed on to the designer and animator. In other words, the programmer will create the parameters for those portions that will need improving quality improvement, and then they will be passed on to the programmer. Certainly, the programmer will also work on improving the quality for the parts where the programmer will be able to complete. However, in our team, those portions that deal with data control tends to be actively passed on to non-programmers. However, the director will actively get rid of portions that seem to be unnatural. And by get rid of, I don't mean only cutting the spec. I also mean pursuing improvement of quality. Next, let me talk about the various topics subject to improvement of quality dealing with character control. There are six different topics. First is the control between motions of large characters. The next is multi-layered motion control. The third is character adaptation to the landscape. Fourth is removing unnaturalness of leg slippage of the giant characters. The fifth is making sure that giant characters are able to physically reach their goal. And sixth is the mix of motion and dynamics. Let me describe each one of these. The first portion is controlling motion transition. So we need to make sure that we put motions together so that they will look they will be playable as well as beautiful. And we do this by trial and error. The programmer will create the necessary commands, patterns, transition block frames, and MOSHA data interpolation frames. And once these are set by the programmers, they no longer are involved in this. The game designers will actually talk about these as well later on. So just keep in mind that these things exist. Now, the reason why I'm specifying the large-scale characters there is a reason for this. Both character control, this is because dynamics calculation of players' actions is reaction to the motion the animator created manually. The animators don't necessarily follow the law of physics in order to make characters move. They try to make the movements as impressive as possible, and that's why this happens. However, given that, they have to figure out how to make the movements seem as natural and as beautiful as possible, and these are handled by the designers and the animators. In other words, that portion is given over completely to the animators as well as the designers.
Of course, We made an effort as a programmer's point of view. For example, we put the limitation of acceleration and velocity. For example, if the Colossus accelerates inappropriately, we have to stop it. In order to do so, we have a fail-safe system. So programmer uses it so that even though the designer put inappropriate numbers, still it's okay. Then I'd like to talk about multi-layered motion. The transition control I just described has several concurrent motions. For example, the player on the horse kicks the size of horse's stomach, or to accelerate, or a boss was stabbed by a sword and has a reaction to it in the appropriate part of its body. There is one basic motion, and you can layer other motions. And we use the apparent process. We made it possible that these other motions can be synchronized with the basic motion. And one example is that the player is moving or being swung in accordance with the horse movement. And if I take a look at of the player, we have 12 layers. I am not sure how the other teams are dealing with this. Maybe programmers might be in charge of this. But in my team, programmers are not in charge of it. We ask the designers or animators to put the materials and then try to control them. Now I'd like to talk about the character's adjustment to the terrain. This is similar to multi-layered motion. This is a pose adjustment, not by using mathematics, but we just would like to have a several pose adjustment by using different ways. It was difficult to show two-legged or four-legged characters naturally stand on a shape slope. From programmer's point of view, maybe we can use the IK goal, IK, to adjust the difference, but this is not enough. We can only make the leg bent along with the slope, and it doesn't look natural. So what we did is that by using the target, we asked animators to adjust to it. We asked them to use the equation or formula which the programmers use, because we believe that animators know the best position which makes the character natural, so we asked the designer to do so. The fourth point is sliding feet. In our team, we use the root, which is the skeleton of the character. The volume of motion or rotation will be calculated by animators. The volume of rotation and motion is critically related to the quality of the character. That is why we asked designers to do so. This subject is related to the next subject, how to make sure that the character will reach the targeted goal. If the small character's feet start sliding precisely along with the slope, it doesn't matter. But if a big character, such as boss, starts sliding, it will be unacceptable. Boss's sliding feet will dominate the entire screen. That is no good. The peripheral bones, such as fingers or feet, might need to be fixed. So that information should come from designers. In ECO, we used the data, and the animator data, animator created the data, was created by using a tool. But even though we wanted this character, the feet, to move, the program decided this should be still stand still, or the programming decided this character should move even though we wanted them to stop, so it didn't work well. But in ECO, the characters are small, so it was okay. But in Shadow of Colossus, our characters are big, and we have to ask animators to do so. Then I'd like to talk about how to make sure that the big character reach the goal position or orientation. First, we used this my program, and then based on my layer, then programmers, the planners worked hard to control boss by using the AI. For example, boss puts his two front feet on the circular platform. The distance between the two legs has to be the same is the same as the circular platform. The distance between his feet and the platform has to be very precise. If there is a 5-inch difference, the boss's feet will be in the air. It will be up in the air. How did I solve this problem? I talked to the programmer which deals with the upper layers. First, we asked that programmer which deals with the upper layer to use my layer and to control my program from the upper layer. We used the formula and solved this problem. What I'd like to underscore is that we valued the importance of animator's input, and we combined their input to my programming in order to improve our quality. Then I'd like to talk about combination of motion and dynamics. This is the same story as I just described. But what is different here is that we used physical movements obtained by dynamics, but not by motion. If you play our game, you might have seen that the player hung on both his hair and was swung so strongly at the steep slope. This is that. The secret here is that we considered the body as multiple linked pendulums. And at the appropriate timing, we put the appropriate layers. In other words, we calculate the basis. But that's not sufficient because sometimes hand is not the appropriate position. So we use the IK technique to adjust the hand position. So I just finished talking about the techniques we used. Now I'd like to ask Mr. Tanaka and other three people to talk about their stories. Thank you. My name is Hosono. I'm a designer. In Shadow of Colossus, I was in charge of script. And my title is planner in Japan, but in this country, my position will be a designer. So I call myself a designer. And I'd like to talk about this project from my point of view. As Mr. Sugiyama mentioned, in our project, a collection of data or augmented control and memory allocation are dealt with by designers. these three projects and trial and error and implementing specification, and also we will do a final implementation. For example, controlling the character, we have to make sure there is a resource and branching motions. Also, we have to control AI for characters. These parts will be dealt with by programmers in ordinary circumstances, but in our project, designers are dealing with this. For example, as you can see in the slide, the player characters has 1,000 motions. Designers are controlling these motions. And we also control and implement motion branching motions. We use a Microsoft Excel database to control it. This is the Excel which controls the character. The C column shows the current motion. The D shows the command, and the E is about next motion. Under this current circumstances, if we get this command, we will go to this motion. And also, we have a cancel frame and interpolation frame. And we can control these things by using this Excel database. So we have an advantage and disadvantage of this database. First, we have a completely separate implication, isolated it, so we can create specification and implement it. The disadvantage is that sometimes we create critical bugs to the system. Actually, 1/3 of all the debug reports were turned out from designers, and we have to work hard to fix them. Now, I'd like to show that what we have been conscious through this program. We wanted to create a very realistic look of character motions. We could do a lot of trials and errors, so we can create the motion which looks very active. This is the slide shows the reaction when the player lands.
Depending on the angle at which the character falls to the ground, they go through different motion. They might fall forward, sideways, back. So with these reactions, I think probably there aren't very many games that have these type of reactions included in them. Next, let's look at the Colossi control. Of course, we wanted to make this look real, but we also wanted to make this playable as well. So we have done things for that. For example, what you see on the screen now is a scene in which a horseback player jumps onto a dragon-shaped colossus. So the speed of the dragon will be adjusted in order to run in parallel to the player. This not only makes it easy for the player to jump onto the colossi, but it also makes it easier for the makes it feel like this is actually happening, makes it feel very real. So each of these various subtle things that we did, we feel were elements that drew the player in. These were just a few examples, but the designers themselves were able to come up with these type of ideas and implement them. And this is the type of environment that we had. I think
that is probably one of the elements, the fact that this environment existed, is one of the elements that allowed us to make, to create this type of a Shadow of the Colossus, which is a very challenging program. My name is Masanobu Tanaka. I was in charge of the playable motion and animation. I'm the only person of these who is involved only in the Shadow of the Colossus. I'm going to be talking about the animation designer's policy. This is a game that has no precedence, so there are various elements that could not be determined only by spec. As a member of the animation, we first started off by creating a temporary motion. Qualities-wise, this motion is very low, but it's easy to implement this into the game. The designer will brush this up and test and improve the quality. By doing this, we actually have to work even harder, but because this is an unusual game or a game that we haven't done before, we felt that we had to put the effort into it. Colossus and Ico both served, had motion not only to fulfill the spec, but also to create a compelling program. For example, the Colossi moves very slowly, so they cannot actually run after the player. If it suddenly moved or turned suddenly, it would require a huge amount of energy. If in order to make this more responsive and made the Colossi move quickly or turn quickly, the power of their weight gets lost. And for the jump or swinging of the sword did not happen the minute the button was up. When the player would push a button, the player will first crouch down and then jump. And also, when the player is attacking with a sword, after the button is pushed, there's a moment before the sword is swung up and then swung down. This is because we don't feel that responsiveness to button means good control. If by making this more responsive, we make the characters less realistic, then we feel like the characters will end up looking weightless. Realistic movement is available only when you get a feeling of weight and energy. In Shadow of the Colossus, we really pursued reality more than anything else. Next, as Hajime mentioned also, we created a system. We had a system in which we were able to port to PS2 the expressions that were created by the animators. This was shown in all of the four-legged creatures walking, or the entire horse movement, as well as the pose of the main character drawing a bow. To explain this specifically, the height of the feet and the controller input information was gathered in order to gather the information and create this on the, reflect that upon the bone. Currently, that is off, so you see it's walking unnaturally. And if we add this expression on top of that motion without destroying the earlier motion in order to make this more interactive. This type of effort may seem very minor, but there's a huge difference between how natural and realistic these movements look. Usually, if we think about cost-effectiveness, these type of controls are not done, or the landscape will end up being flat, and it has nothing to do with whether one will be able to win the game or not. However, there are some users who will look at such unrealistic settings and decide they're not interested anymore. So by removing the unnaturalness, I think there are probably more users who will be drawn into the game. That's it from me. Hello. My name is Atsuko Fukuyama, and I'm an animator. In Ico, I was in charge of the heroine, Yorda. In Wanda, in The Shadow of the Colossus, I was in charge of Agro as well. Both of these characters are non-player characters, which the player does not control. However, both are characters that have their own wills and live in the game world, and they had to succeed in their own right. Before Ico was produced, 8 years prior to the production, I was very dissatisfied with all of the female characters that appeared in games. The female characters that appear in games tended to be made in such a way that they really showed off the fact that they were females. And it was difficult for me to see what the point of that was. So, to be very honest, I was really sick of that type of depiction. And because I felt this way, I wanted Yorda and Ico to be natural, yet also attractive. And that's where I put my effort into. In our team, we didn't use motion capture. We ended up doing the animation by hand. The reason why we did not use motion capture is because creating the animation manually, we felt would be much more conducive to creating characteristic characters. But it doesn't mean that we only want to do things manually. If it's possible to create similar type of experiences or even better quality using motion capture, we certainly would do that. So although we stuck to doing this manually, we can't talk about all of the animation techniques that are required in one setting. And certainly various techniques are required, but to say it simply, the most important thing is to think about how the environment is put in and how the people can really make themselves feel like they are those characters as well. This is very similar to TV and movie actors, we feel. In that sense, Shadow of the Colossus, Shadow of the Colossus, I wasn't in charge of people. I was in charge of a horse, so that was a little bit difficult. However, it was also very important that I had colleagues, other programmers and designers, with whom I shared values in terms of artistry. In other words, this value or the emphasis on naturalness or realistic reality. The final image output really requires the cooperation of programmers and designers. So it's important to be able to try to convey the image that the animator has in his or her own head. And how well we can convey this will connect directly with the output. And if the team works really well, we're able to come up with a very smooth and high-quality output. So in that sense, I think our team did this exceptionally well. Of course, this was because we had a lot of people who had shared the same image. However, the adjustment that were done after the output by the animators and designers required a certain environment, and this type of environment existed. So I felt like the environment in which we worked was very ideal. It was an ideal environment. Thank you very much.
So you heard stories from each person's point of view, and you may have feedback, probably. After listening to these stories, some may think that the programmers only make the system and do not get involved in the final output. And maybe if we make parameters and we ask somebody else to deal with it, the quality might improve. But that's what you might think now. If we ask non-programmers to deal with the rest of the job, if after we create and give parameters to them, then they will have a wider range of adjustments. However, if too many programmers' responsibilities move to other groups, they have to deal with creating parameters, and parameters itself will be diversified, and because of multidimensional parameters, designers, the animators have to do more complicated adjustment between them. We had the similar experience. First, programmers have to think about what parameters have to be handed over to other groups in order to achieve the best cost performance, and designers and animators have to decide amongst themselves how to adjust certain parameters. These things have to be discussed among the groups. Basically and typically, programmers tend to know what kind of information is needed to have suitable character movement. Therefore, it is important for these groups to discuss issues together. The second question is whether the programmers should specialize in making a system. Personally, I'd like to use procedures and just using all the calculation to describe everything. Only programmers can create end-to-end system. That's what we would like to do it. For example, auto-creation of motion or auto-creation of turning or these things. I heard that the Gran Turismo doesn't tell a lie mathematically. I think that sounds great. However, personally, under the current technology available, I don't think using programming by programmers doesn't solve everything. For example, face bank angle. If we tilt our face, there will be a different impressions. I just talked about multi-layered quality, and I just used the we create the glaze system. We divide the face and created 8 different directions of the head. Animators made it, and then we had the baseline motion, and we input these 8 different phases to the basic one. Animators have information what kind of angles can be used, because only animators have it. I also described this in dynamics. The character was hanging there on the colossus. Sometimes we have to use some information from non-programmers to show the strong will of the character by its motion. Therefore, it's significant for us to receive information from designers and animators. Ultimately, it would be ideal to put AI into the characters in the computer. Personally, I believe that programmers should create systems and trust designers and animators to provide good information, which lets programmers focus on the quality that they're in charge of. In the Shadow of Colossus, in the final phase, I was implementing dynamics for the movements of the horse's reins and manes and the character's hair and the mantle and the collision detection. That was really enjoyable because my output was directly linked to the quality of the final product. In Japan, we have a doll called Daruma. It does not have eyes in the first place. When you commit yourself to finishing one thing, you write one eye to the doll. When you actually finish your work, you put another eye in the doll. During the final stage, I was so happy and I felt as if I was writing the last eye in the doll. I have a lot of such significant moments in that I feel really happy. That's all I have today. Thank you for your attention. So I'd like to start the Q&A. We don't not have a lot of time, but we would like to ask any questions you have. Are there any questions? Please go to the microphone. Could you, may I ask you to go to the microphone to ask questions?
Accessible than Eco to the non-gamers.
Well, maybe you know the answer. That's my answer.
So I was wondering, did you guys went through a phase where you try to solve everything with physics simulation at the beginning, and then later on you figure out that it just doesn't look right, and then you try to, you know, layer animation on top of it? Is that how you eventually, you know, arrived at the point that you layer 12 animation on top, and then you found it looked right? Like, so did you figure that out by trial and error, knowing that, like, physics simulation couldn't get what you want? Or at the very beginning, you already knowing that that is not going to work, it will be a combination of both techniques?
Well, I think it's a really difficult answer because I have a lot of experience. It's based on experiences we found out how to do it. Which one we should decide between the law of physics or animation or emotional expression? We decided among the groups, and then we decided based on experience. I'm sorry, my question is not definite.
So did you guys at any point, maybe at the beginning of the project, saying that we are going to, you know, create a phenomenal physics-based system to create everything with the goal to lessen the involvement of animators to getting the right looks for the characters?
Excuse me, could you repeat the question?
Is there like a high-level goal at the beginning of the project saying we're going to make a really good physics system so that we'll minimize the number of animation that we need to create to, you know, create expressive character emotion or animations?
Yes, we didn't think about using the programs for human beings. If it's the like a car game or a car race game, maybe we can use the programming only. But because there are humans in this game, I thought the only programming wouldn't solve this problem. ありがとうございます。
First, I just want to say I think you achieved your goal of creating really, really beautiful motion. It's an amazing looking game. But my question is, I think you guys have created some of the best. You've created some of the best jump animations that are under player control. I was wondering if you could talk in a little bit more detail about the process you went through. And for example, you said that one of the things you did was delay the character's response to the button press. Can you talk a little bit about how you iterated through that, and you know, did you find you could get too much of a delay, and just interested in any detail you have. Thank you.
I think this is one that I'll have somebody else reply. I'll have Masanobu talk about this. What do you think?I'm sure that there was a lot of trial and error involved with this. That's right. Initially, I think the response was probably not as good.
That's right. I think the response wasn't as good, but as a result of trial and error, I think we were able to figure out what the best timing was. That's about it for me. Is that a decent answer? I hope that answers your question.
One of the very few faults I found on the masterpiece, which is Shadow of the Colossus, is the impression of not perfect frame rate. It seems that I was in doubt that if it was done on purpose by any artistic reason, or if it was the PS2 that could not handle all the power.Of the physics in the game.
Well, good question. Well, I think doing something difficult may have been over the capability of PS2. That's my personal opinion.But as a programmer, I think I did my very best, but I think that was the best that we were able to do. So does that answer your question? I have a question about Ico. In Shadow...Can you repeat the question, please? In Shadow, though. Which Colossi do you like the best in Shadow the Colossus? I did all of the check in the first Colossus, so I like the first Colossus the best. I'm sorry, this will be the last question. Go ahead, last question.
Just hoping, could you possibly talk about the camera control system that you use in Shadow of the Colossus? It's very unique. I've actually never seen anything like it in any other game. You use a lot of different rules of cinematography for it. And I was just wondering, what was the system you guys used, and what were the rules you guys followed to make the camera system?
I think the director, Mr. Ueda, was particularly concerned about this particular element. The impression of appearance was put in the forefront in doing the design. We used the collision system, as I mentioned earlier, and took the photos. And we tried...We did a trial and error to try to create an impressive visual. And this is where the game designer really did a lot of trial and error in order to complete it. I'm not sure whether this answers your question.
以上で終わりにしたいと思います。
That concludes it. Thank you very much for your attendance.